Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go get him.
Here's a pooch kick. It's going to be airborne, bouncing in front and past Adam Shaheen. He's got, oh my gosh, he did not scoop it up. It's loose, pile up, and the Eagles recover at the 25-yard line of the Bears. That was it. Wentz takes a knee, and that'll end it. The Eagles survive a 22-14 victory over the Bears.
There's a lot of just the really simple things that we did last year that we do in practice that on game day we're coming up short, and that's why you have this crappy feeling.
There's nothing to say. You just got to fix the problem, and it is simple as that.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us.
I'm assuming there was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there with how he said it. We all realize that he's getting a lot of heat right now. We understand that.
There's still a lot of football left. And I know my dog can ball. I ain't really got that.
This is the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. Now, here's your hosts, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz.
And good morning, Chicago. It is great to be with you all. I am Hub Arkish, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And we welcome you into the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. You want to visit that sportsbook in East Chicago every chance you get. And guys, if you want to come out and see us today, we are out and about. We are not in the studio. We are out in Lockport at Coombs Corner, and Ron is here himself. We are Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport for the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. I already did that. Got all these copy points here, guys. We'll get to it a bunch of times. But bottom line, 1225 East 9th Street in Lockport. Really easy, right off of 355 to get here. We are here until noon with our Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show. Be watching the game out here. We've got postgame with Patrick Manley and James Big Cat Williams as well. So, big day out here in Lockport at Coombs Corner. Come on out and see us, guys. We are brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. And, guys, we were not even out of our cars yet when the news started breaking. There is a report from Adam Schefter at ESPN that Matt Stafford will not be able to go today. He has been battling a back injury. He did practice on Friday. They say he was throwing the ball 50 or 60 yards, but according to the report from Adam Schefter, the doctors were not satisfied. They are not willing to risk it. That means it will be Jeff Driscoll at quarterback for the Detroit Lions. And, Olin, I got to be honest with you, I was getting out of the car and somebody said, hey, who's the Lions' backup quarterback? I didn't know. Because, nope. You know, I mean, all you think about the Lions is Matt Stafford. The guy is having an all-pro type season. And this one comes as quite a shock to everybody, I think.
Yeah, and it's not the New Orleans Saints with Teddy Bridgewater, right? It's Jeff Driscoll. It goes back to Mitch Trubisky. If the backup quarterback is playing, he has to be the best quarterback on the field, period. He has to go out there and outplay Driscoll, and the Bears should take home a victory today versus a guy who started a few games for the Bengals. Matt Stafford pretty much, and their wide receiver core, Manley, is pretty much their whole offense. That's what they do. That's what you were scared of today when the Bears are going to go against him, them spreading the field, picking on the linebackers with Hockenstein and Galladay and Jones. And now just stop the run and force this guy to beat you.
Yeah, this is a game, unfortunately, when you look at it, you could potentially find out how bad the Bears are.
No, we're not doing that today, Pat.
I know. I saw your tweets late last night. You got all positive about that Illinois win.
I love you turning it around when nobody believed. I'm in. I'm all in.
But what, like you just said, without Matt Stafford, I mean, he's been playing unbelievable this year. He's been a highlight film. He's had a highlight year. I mean, some of the throws he's making, some of these no-look throws, hammered it in there to the guys you were talking about. Without him, the Bears need to walk away with a win. And if they don't, it's going to be a really tough Sunday and a really tough rest of the year for this Bears team because, you know, the Lions are interesting because they are the complete opposite of the Bears. Their defense is terrible. Mm-hmm. Their offense is highly ranked. And then you flip the Bears side, it's the opposite. So This is a game now without Matthew Stafford that this defense for the Bears should take over this game, and it's going to be interesting also to see if, you know, going into this week, there was a question mark next to Matt Stafford's name if he was going to play or not. What kind of game planning is Chuck Pagano going to throw at a not a rookie quarterback? He's, what, started five or six games in the league at a young quarterback. Does that change the game plan at all? Did they dial up any stuff during the week, during blitz period, to say, okay, if Stafford has to be or is out, we're going to throw some of this stuff at him?
Yeah, and the guys you were worried about, like you said, Pat, were Galladay, Amendola, Marvin Jones Jr., their rookie tight end, Hockenson, Jesse James. Those are the guys that Stafford spreads you out and picks you apart with. And without the Stafford, you got to stop the run and then get after Driscoll and force him into mistakes. And if you're the Bears' offense, you know, you run the ball, and we hope, right?
Right.
And you just don't turn it over. Yeah. You don't turn it over. You can't give up a special teams touchdown. But with the 31st ranked Lions defense coming in, maybe it's a time to get right. Maybe it's a time to get going a little bit. And one thing, when I went back and was watching this week, I'm thinking to myself, the one thing that did work for them early in the year that after the bye week you haven't seen much of is the no huddle, where they put them on the line of scrimmage, where they do the McVay, where McVay gives Goff a bunch of information before the snap so he can see the defense, and Mitch Trubisky kind of gets rolling. Now, other than that, Pat, this offense, unless they're running the ball a big chunk of the drives, they're not scoring touchdowns. So, for me, it's either no huddle or run the damn ball.
Yeah, but the other side of that is that the Lions, like you said, struggle in defense, and they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. And going back to watch last year's game where Mitch had a great game throwing for over 350 yards, there wasn't much pressure on him at all. And they have kind of the same guys up front. They might have a healthy Mike Daniels, which could make a difference, but he's hasn't played in a couple weeks. But I go back to they have to run the ball. That's where they're best. They got to get into the play action. And that's where you're going to see the Bears have their success like they have. But that's an interesting point about going back to that no huddle. This is a defense. It'd be interesting to see if they pull that out today in Soldier Field.
Kind of a weird thing, too. You keep looking for it when you look at the film, and they're really bad in the second half. But they have guys, right, along their front. They signed Trey Flowers to a huge contract from New England. They got Snacks Harrison. They got A'shaun Robinson. They got Mike Daniels. They got Gerard Davis. They got Slay, who's one of the best shutdown corners in the league. And you look at their defense, and you're like, why are they so bad? But you just – I know the linebackers are slow, and you want to get Tariq Cohen matched up on them, and maybe this is where Trey Burton gets right to. Anthony Miller over the middle of the field is a guy they're looking to, but the Bears' offense, I don't think they have an identity problem, Hub. I think their coach doesn't want to be what their actual identity is.
Yeah, I mean, we continue to struggle to figure that out, guys, but just kind of staying with the headline for a moment, what you were just talking about, you never know how a team is going to react to something like this. Matt Stafford had started 136 consecutive games. It is the sixth longest streak in NFL history for an NFL quarterback. On Friday, he was out at practice throwing the ball 55, 60 yards in the air. It never occurred to these guys until he didn't get clearance this morning. And then you just only listed off all the stars on this team. There are some big-time players. And sometimes, you know, guys react and say, okay, we got to pick it up and go here. There's no reason to believe that the NFL's 31st ranked defense, and by the way, they're bottom five in every category. They're not just 31st in total
like
defense.
The Bears offense.
Yeah, they're bad against the run. They're bad against the pass. They can't get off the field on third down. They've got some good football players. And by the way, some of those guys have been hurt. Snacks Harrison's been battling a groin injury. A'shaun Robinson fighting a leg injury. Darius Slay was out a couple weeks ago with a hamstring. This thing, it's almost like it sets up too good to be true for the Bears, because now you get up this morning and say, well, no, Stafford, you guys tell me, you played. There's sometimes I've talked to guys, there's a tendency you almost relax a little bit. It's subconscious. You don't want to do it, but, we got these guys now. And when you're on a four-game losing streak, you can't relax. You can't assume that you can beat any NFL team. I don't care who the Dolphins won last week. I don't care who it is.
I think when you are on the losing streak like they're on, that won't happen. That can't happen. I think it can happen if you're on a winning streak and you feel really good about yourself and you have all that confidence. Like, oh, we've been playing so well. They're coming in with a backup quarterback. We got no problem. It'll be interesting to see if they try to throw the ball or run the ball today against this Bears defense. They're on their third and fourth running back for the season. They've gone through a bunch of guys. They have guys who have not played a whole bunch, who have you know, put the ball on the ground last week. Is that how you say his name? McKissick? Is that his name?
Yeah, McKissick.
He put the ball on the ground last week in the first drive. So, you know, it's going to be a tough task for Jeff Driscoll going against this defense. I think they're going to be able to turn it up a little bit. We know what Khalil Mack can do to Taylor Decker and those tackles there. So this is going to be a tough task for them, and I think they have a chance to get those turnovers you were talking about, Olin.
Yeah, and when you look at it, you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Bears' defense, right, since Hicks got hurt against Oakland, three times they've given up over 140 yards rushing. They're giving up 4.2 yards a carry since he's been out. So we got to stop the run today. Eddie Goldman wasn't healthy all week either. And I think last week, unless I'm mistaken, Hub, he only played 11 plays. So we got to go out there. We got to stop the run first. If now, I know everybody's reporting it, but Stafford just seems like the kind of guy to me, I'm out, I'm in. I'm out. Okay, now you know what? I'm playing. Screw this, I'm playing. Right. I know everybody's saying until Grody gets on here and tells me he's absolutely out. We don't know yet. When you play 133 straight, Pat, these kind of guys, they may say you're out. They get to the field, start throwing the ball around like, hey, coach, I'm going. I'm going. Don't worry right. about me. So they better make sure he's out first. But if he is out, it doesn't take away, Hub, like you're saying, after you lose four games, it doesn't take away all the problems that this Bears team has had, scoring touchdowns, stopping the run, and getting turnovers since they went on this four-game losing streak.
You know, guys, normally I'm with you all, and I don't even like reporting this stuff until we hear it as a fact. But in this particular case, A, Adam Schefter is really good. But B, the report is that the doctors will not give him clearance to play. I mean,
until I hear from the doctor.
Okay.
I'm not believing you, Hub.
Dr. Mark Grody?
I'm with you, and that would be it. We could do an hour and a half here until the inactives come out talking about Jeff Driscoll, and then we find out that it's Stafford. But this seems he has been battling it all week long. So we will keep an eye on that story for you. It is not the only story here. Jeff Driscoll is a young man who – you know, obviously not a household name. I got to be honest. I was telling you guys before we came on the air, I was coming in and somebody stopped me in the parking lot and said, hey, Hub, who's the Lions' backup quarterback? I couldn't remember. I mean, you think of the Lions, you think of Matt Stafford. I didn't even realize
it was Dan Orlovsky, right?
That was the name I thought, yeah. He's now a score football expert, I think.
He's an expert. I went right to the Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with this. It does seem likely that he doesn't go. But that's kind of what we were just talking about, guys. It's not like he's the only player on this team. There is a bunch of talent here. These receivers, I don't know if he's a local kid, but certainly from Northern Illinois University, Kenny Golladay,
fourth round.
I'm pretty sure he is local. Has become one of the most dangerous big play threats in the NFL this year. He's averaging 18.5 yards a catch. I think he's got 7 touchdowns. And then you look at Marvin Jones Jr. Been solid for a few years. They bring in Danny Amendola. Play in the slot. That is a really good trio of receivers. That is a big part of the reason that Stafford is having such a good year. And we got to assume if Driscoll is in the NFL, if they give him some time, that he can find those guys. And so, again, it's not just like, well, we'll go out there and beat him because there's no Matt Stafford.
There's one interesting thing about Driscoll is that he did not sign with the Lions until September 14th or 17th. So he didn't have an entire offseason. He was with the Bengals in camp, got injured, went to IR, and then came off, and then the Lions signed him. So I don't know how, you know, full he is of this offense. You know, how much has he digested yet, and how much can he go out there and really run? Because Olin, as you know, all he's been doing is scout team. You know, he's been running cards against this Lions defense. Yes, he's been in meetings and learning it that way, but I don't think he's had a whole lot of snaps with this first team.
Yeah, and the one thing you always worry about the one thing you look for with a backup quarterback, right, is run the ball, and he takes the easy checkdowns, especially a guy who started games before in the NFL, and it immediately leads you to their running backs and tight ends and Amendola, mm-hmm. right? He wants the easy out. Last week, the Bears struggled to cover Zach Ertz, struggled to cover the tight ends for the Philadelphia Eagles. So you look at the matchup today, immediately you look at Hockenson and you look at James, their two tight ends for the Detroit Lions, and these two guys are very good at getting open against linebackers. That's what you're looking to immediately, Pat, but I'll keep coming back, and even though they don't run the ball, and even though they're starting running backs on IR, if Eddie Goldman doesn't feel good today like he didn't last week, and we got Roy Robinson-Harris in there, these guys, we got to stop the run. Roquan Smith, again, didn't look good last week against the Eagles, but the Eagles have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. They're very good in the middle, just like New Orleans was, just like Oakland was, And the Detroit Lions, when you look at them on film, I wouldn't say they had that kind of front five that would scare you like that for the Chicago Bears.
Right, and you know, we talked last week about this is the time of year where you start game planning teams because of their injuries. And if Eddie Goldman is out, that is a weak point for the Bears. And I think that's even coming into this game, knowing Eddie Goldman could be hurt, limited, or whatever he's going to be, that's a matchup that you say, all right, guys, you go to that O-line room and say, hey, we got to win this. This is the matchup we got to win this week.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get a quick break in here. If you want to give us a call and join the conversation, it's 312-644-6767. Or better yet, come on out and see us. Come out and watch the Bears-Lions game with us. We are at Coombs Corner in Lockport, 1225 East 9th Street. Couldn't be much easier to get to. Got a great crowd in the house already. It is the Ameristar Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. I'm Hub Arkish. Visit that sportsbook in East Chicago. Next chance you get. We are back here in just a moment at The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manley.
Patrick Manley just called in, and Pat Manley wants to talk to Matt Jones,
yes.
A.K.A. Badger from Breaking Bad.
Oh, I have...
Number 65, what's up, man? You're on with Matt Jones of Breaking Bad fame.
Well, this is a weird phone call, man. Good to talk to you, Matt.
Yeah, good to talk to you. This is... I'm fangirling right now.
That's awesome.
Why wasn't he fanboying?
I don't know.
Hey, guys, come on out to Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport for the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show. We've got Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz. I'm Hub Arkish. We are here until noon. Also got 2 hours of post-game coming up after the game, immediately following the final gun. It'll be Patrick Manley, James Big Cat Williams, and myself. We are brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. And, guys, great spot out here at Coombs Corner. We've got a great house already, people pouring in. You'll be watching the game here today. We really hope you'll come out and see us. If you can't make it, though, keep the radio dialed to 670 The Score for the best pre and post in town. Guys, we've talked about it in that first segment. For people just joining us, there is a report from Adam Schefter that Matt Stafford will be inactive today, that the doctors will not clear him to play with that balky back that's been bothering him all week long. There are a couple other injuries to keep an eye on as well. We mentioned some of these guys on defense. Snacks Harrison with the groin problem. Mike Daniels coming back from a foot injury. Darius Slay had missed time with a hamstring. They all are most likely to go. But A'shaun Robinson, the other big interior tackle, battling a leg injury. We're not sure what his status is. And the most likely guy to possibly join Stafford on the sidelines is Graham Glasgow, their starting left guard. Who's been struggling all week, too. This is a banged-up Lions football team that the Bears get today. And, you know, Pat, it's almost like this Bears offense needed, I don't want to say a little help, but they needed a moment, you know. And this has got to be it. If they cannot come out and get some things done against this Lions defense on a day when they're playing without, you know, some of their better players, you really start to move to a different phase of the season, I think.
And, Hub, I'm going to continue with the injuries. You got to go to the defensive backfield as well. With Tracy Walker, right. The safety's out. Miles Killebrew is out. He went out with a concussion this week during practice. They obviously traded Quadre Diggs, who's out. They've got basically two rookies back there and Tavon Wilson. So they have a lack of a pass rush. They showed that all year. I think they only have 14 sacks on the season. They have basically two rookie safeties and one starter playing in the backfield from the safety position. This is a game where Matt Nagy needs to dial up a game plan to make Mitch healthy and happy.
Well, and let's talk about one very significant change if they take advantage of it. The Bears released Mike Davis yesterday morning. I think a lot of you have read the story at this point. It's in part because he just wasn't the back that they hoped he would be when they signed him as a free agent. But more than that, multiple reports are that they will now get a compensatory draft pick for Adrian Amos signing with the Packers. The way these compensatory picks work is a bit of a mystery. There's some subjectivity to it. There is a formula, but at the end of the day, if you lose certain free agents at a certain salary level and don't replace them with other free agents, you do get compensatory picks. That pick would have been wiped out because they signed Davis, but now that he was not here through week 10, or into week 11, I should say, they're in line for that pick. More interesting to me is that Ryan Nall has been activated off the practice squad. Now, they had Kareth White and Ryan Nall. They chose Nall. That should tell us something. This kid has been the best running back in training camp the last two seasons. Couldn't get off the practice squad. Been waiting to see him. Would be very – well, he's going to be active. He's got to be active because he's got to have three running backs. You don't have to, but you want to have three running backs dressed. Very curious to see because he really stylistically – is going to remind you a little bit more of Jordan Howard than David Montgomery.
Right, and mostly, and Pat can talk to this more than I can, it's a special teams issue,
yeah.
Right? Kareth White is not going to run down there. He's not going to play punt team. He's not, you know, unless he's the returner,
right.
You're not using Kareth White.
They're pretty good in that position.
Yeah. But, you know, you got Tariq Cohen, you got Cordero Patterson, so you're not going to suit up three just guys who return the football, right? But Ryan Nall, if he can give us another power running back, I'd be for that. I just don't know how much we're going to see the power running Chicago Bears today, right? And we go back to talking about getting Mitch right and the Lions' injuries and Stafford and where the Chicago Bears are. I don't know how you guys feel, but they can't worry about who the hell's on the field across from them. They got to line up, and they got to play good football again, period. No matter who's out there, they don't have – and they can't say, well, that guy's out, this is a guaranteed win. That's not the kind of team they are right now, Pat, right? So – what are they going to do? The only game this year they've scored a first-half touchdown is the Washington Redskins game with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, right? They scored against the Vikings, but Chase Daniels comes in, and he runs that no-huddle offense again down the field. So what works? How do we get the ball in the end zone? How do we get our quarterback going is what they're thinking about. And then on defense, how do we stop the run again? No matter who's it against, we got to stop the run. Brian Baldinger put on Twitter, Pat, they don't even have anybody filling. It looks like they don't know what defense they're in. And Jordan Howard cuts back. He's almost untouched for 10 or 15. The hole is huge. The touchdown, the 13-yard touchdown down there, nobody touches him. So they got to get back to run fits. Mm-hmm. They got to get back to running the ball, not turning the ball over. And they can't worry about who the hell's suiting up across the field from them because they're not that kind of team right now.
And that interests me about the defense. I know it's a new defensive coordinator, but there's a bunch of veterans out there that are making mistakes like that shouldn't be happening. That shocks me. I mean, when you see holes like that, that means guys are either getting blown off the ball or MAs, and it looks like both of them on those plays you're describing. I'll go back to Ryan Nall. Ryan Nall I liked a lot in the special teams game in coverage. I liked watching his preseason tape. He has kind of that nose for the ball, that aggressive play, that little wiggle when you're running down covering on kickoffs where he can defeat blocks, and I think it's definitely the reason why he got the nod over Kareth White is that he can be a strength in that coverage game, and especially now in Soldier Field where you're going to see a lot more kickoff returns with the weather changing. And then also about the Mike Davis situation, I thought the Bears did the right thing in letting him go, obviously, but letting him go late in the week, and one reason is because these Detroit Lions are in the need of a running back. And then if they got him earlier in the week, does it give that big of an advantage? I'm not sure, but that's just smart gamesmanship because I would not be surprised if Mike Davis is the Detroit Lion on Monday.
Yeah, and I'll go back, and I know that we have, you know, Stafford is a huge story around the whole NFL if he's out. Not really because the Lions aren't very good anywhere at 3-4-1, right? And I know that Ryan Nall, because Mike Davis got released, that's another story for the Bears. But that really means absolutely nothing to what the way the Bears have been playing defense. The way the Bears have been playing this year, I don't care who their third running back is. I really don't. I really don't care if Ryan Nall's up, Kareth White. I don't care if they sign Garrett Wolf and he comes in and plays again. That stuff I do not care about, right? I want to see an efficient offense today on the field. I want to see the coach put them in what actually works, which is their no huddle, their max protection shot plays, running the ball, and then I want to see the defense, again, Pat, line up. I don't want to see Leonard Floyd get hemmed up by the tight end on a run play. You want to see a ferocious front four get after a quarterback today. You want to see Khalil Mack. You want to see Leonard Floyd. You want to see Eddie Goldman. You want to see Roy Robertson-Harris. You want to see these guys playing the kind of football we thought that they would play coming into this season.
One of the things that will be interesting to watch, you know, we talk about this Lions running game, which has not been very good. And I mentioned they've been a little banged up inside. Graham Glasgow, don't know if he goes or not today. But they've got a second-year player at center, and Frank Ragnow out of Arkansas was drafted 18 spots ahead of James Daniels. And interestingly enough, went through kind of the same experiment, played some guard last year. They've had him at center all year this year. He is a mauler. He is a guy who can knock you off the football. But they're not great at guard. They're pretty good at the tackles. And it's not just the Bears' run defense that's been bad in general. They've been really bad between the tackles. Their pursuit east and west is fine if they can get you going east and west. But when you come right at them, the Bears have struggled. And Ragnow is a power straight-ahead type run blocker. And that's the matchup that whether it's Eddie Goldman or you know Roy Robertson, whoever's inside, that's one of the matchups that they're going to have to win today if they're going to stop that running game.
Yeah, and Nick Williams, right? Nick yes. Williams and Bilal Nichols, who I thought Bilal Nichols has always been kind of same for me, Pat. Some plays he looks dominant, mm-hmm. and in some plays he'll swim backside. You know, like
he tries to play like Akeem, and he can't be Akeem.
like you tell defensive players, like right, like you can't go where water goes, right? You got to fight the pressure. You can't go where water would go. You got to go where it's hard to go. And this defense, like Hub is saying. This guy's out. The guards aren't very good. They're not in that position right now, Pat. They got to get back, and they got to have a good football game because really, and I know you do this, when you turn the film on, you do not see a team playing good, winning football in the NFL. You don't see it. You don't see them stopping the run. You don't see them causing turnovers. Look, the only teams who win that don't have a running game have an elite quarterback.
Sure.
We don't have an elite quarterback, so we have to run the ball, right? And the only time that the Bears this year have actually had a drive that Coach Nagy would say is his offense that he brought from Kansas City was the touchdown drive, the second touchdown drive last week against Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. Where they schemed Montgomery open in the seam and they threw like a fake jet sweep pitch to Tariq Cohen. But guess how that all started? They ran max protection and threw it up to Allen Robinson, who, yes, he did. You could call it drop the ball, try to jump over the quarterback.
Wide open by 2 yards. Yeah. Been a completion
right.
for touchdown.
But what did that do, Pat, when you went mass protection, play action pass? It got Mitch going.
Sure.
It got him comfortable in that what he likes to do. And then he got rolling, right? So you just want to see guys in their run fits. You want to see turnovers. You want to see sacks. You want to see running the ball. You want to see efficient out of their offense. I don't care if the whole Lions team is hurt. The Bears got to play better football.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Guys, I had an interesting exchange with Matt Nagy this past Wednesday. We were visiting during the press conference, and I was trying to get my arms around what's going on with the offense and focus specifically on play calling and asked him about not the play calling because, you know, that's an art and I don't know it and fans who think they can do better can't, but the question of would he be well suited to hand it off to one of his assistants to allow him to focus on 60 minutes of football and other things that are going wrong with the team as a head coach. And rather than repeat the whole exchange, because we went back and forth three times, at the end of the day, he basically just said no. And that's okay. I mean, you know, he's the boss. That's his opinion. But as Olin has mentioned a couple times here, there's more wrong with this football team right now than just not necessarily getting the right play called every once in a while. And that word stubborn that you hear. And you just worry, because I do think that Matt Nagy is a good football coach. Based on the body of work and everything I've seen, I think there's a good chance they get this turned around. But he is being remarkably stubborn right now. And you just wonder why that's so hard to figure out, you know, that this team needs a little change.
I just wonder how it goes within those coaches' meetings, Olin. You know, everybody has an ego, right? And especially at that level.
Coaches' egos,
well,
right?
Well, that's what gets you in trouble. But he's got some other high-powered coaches on that staff that have been successful in what they've done. Is his ego maybe getting in the way and say, no, I don't want to listen to you. I want to do it my way. Instead of coming together and say, all right, what do you guys actually see? Like what you're talking about, and let's figure it out. Let's come together and figure it out. Instead of him saying, not saying he's doing it, but is it happening? Is the ego getting in the way? Is he saying, nope, we're doing it my way. Not
right,
listening to you.
And put on a grease board, right? What worked? What didn't work? And then let's put an arrow down and say, okay, why didn't it work? That's it.
That's the why.
And yeah. But Pat, you start to think about the way they're constructed, right? And they have four quarterback coaches in the room talking about what's wrong, okay? There's no doubt if you listen to me on the radio or TV or follow Twitter, I see everything from an O-line's perspective, right? So if the O-line messes up, I'm going to try to blame another position first, right? And as an analyst, you always got to walk back from that. The quarterback coaches are the same. They see everything. Ragone is a quarterback coach, so he sees things from a quarterback's point of view, right? Heffert, quarterback coach. Nagy was a quarterback and a quarterback coach. Childress, quarterback coach. So I go to, they come out of Oakland and London, and Hub will tell you, what did Nagy say their biggest problem was? The O-line and their run game. Then we came out and ran the ball seven times, shoved Tariq Cohen up the middle, threw a pitch option to Miller and fumbled. What are we talking about? Like, and then now you go into this week, and what's everybody talking about? We got to change the center.
Yeah.
The O-line is still the problem then. Up there at Hallis Hall, we got to change the center. So you start to worry about, are these guys really taking a clear view look, Pat, at what's really wrong with their offense?
That's a good point. You can look at the tight end position. I went on a podcast this week and kind of ripped Adam Shaheen and was asking what he's doing.
You
exactly
can't kind of rip somebody, Pat. Either you rip them or
him.
You don't.
I ripped him. But he's a nice guy.
Is that working? That cures it all. You say whatever you want as long as you end with, nah, but he's a nice guy.
But you're right about that, looking at it, because I look at it the same way being in the O-line room with you, that you look at O-line and you say, what is everybody else doing wrong? Because there's some stuff they could fix, but they're not the whole problem. It's just everybody. When you have a half like that last week, that's everybody. I mean, that's coaching, that's quarterbacking, that's every O-line position, that's tight end, wide receiver, and it's inexcusable to play that bad in the NFL. What, 40 years of a worst half in Bears history?
This segment on The Score is brought to you by Amazon. Holiday hiring at Amazon starts now. Earn up to $16 an hour. No resume, no previous experience required. Choose from a variety of shifts and find your opportunity at amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer. Guys, I think I have a bit of an inkling from another conversation I had with him about why Matt Nagy may be being a little stubborn, may be refusing to make changes. We will talk about that in just a moment right here at 670 The Score.
I don't think it would – see, it's so early in the game. That's your first throw. There's no expectation of pressure. You can't have it because you haven't had a throw yet to know if there is a pressure. It ended up being a little bit of a factor for James to get pushed back like he did. That's a pretty good football player there in Fletcher Cox, big guy. But I don't think it was enough to where it affected that, that. Mitch wasn't thinking that going into the throw. So A-Rob ran a nice route, and we missed it.
A good Sunday morning to everybody, and welcome back to our Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Cruz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkus. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. We appreciate you being with us on the radio this morning at The Score, but if you want to come out and visit in person, we're at Coombs Corner Sports Grill out here in Lockport, 1225 East 9th Street. Guys, really easy to get up to right off of 355 South. And we're going to be here all day. We've got pregame with Olin and Patrick until noon. As soon as you hear the final gun on the radio, you can come back, or hopefully you're here with us, or come on over. We'll be here for postgame until about 2 hours after the final gun with Patrick Manley and Big Cat Williams. It's Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. Great crowd in here already. We're having a good time this morning. And guys, I mentioned just before we went to the break, talking to Matt on Friday, Matt Nagy, one of the reasons, and I think I've seen this happen often in all sports, not just football, they're studying the tape, obviously, and a lot of what they're trying to do, they're chalking up to one breakdown. I mean, you know, playing football, ultimate team sport, 11 guys got to all get their assignments right, and they're seeing a lot of things that they think either could be consistent in the ground game or big plays in the passing game, and it's one guy missing an assignment. And so you keep telling yourself, boy, if we just get that one right, it's all going to click. And you know, the question, I think, is that once you've lost 2, 3, 4 in a row, at what point do you stop waiting for it all to click and say, I got to make a change or two here?
Well, you know, just get back to simplifying things. And Olin was talking about the game plan of helping the O-line out. There are some situations where the O-line struggled last week, and it's 5-on-5 or 6-on-6 with the running back in protection, and they couldn't handle the Eagles 1-on-1. So then run some play-action pass, run some bootlegs, run some movement up front with that O-line to make it easy for him. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, he keeps putting him in some positions where they're struggling. Your job as a coach is to help a player or put a player in a position to be successful. And sometimes, like you were talking about, they are making mistakes all across the board one at a time here and there, but that's a coach's job to find out what a guy's weakness is. Like last week, you had Rashad Coward versus Fletcher Cox. Slide the line that way. Try to figure out a way to slide the line that way to help them. Make Charles Lindell say, hey, Charles, this week you're going to have a much tougher game because we have to help the younger guys here on the right side, the center and the right guard. You're a pro bowler. You're supposed to be able to handle guys one-on-one. Sorry, but this week this is your game to help everybody else out. And it didn't seem like that was happening, or it has been happening for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and if you take a look at what they're doing, Pat, it's almost like they're looking at the X's and O's, and they want to get all their advantages with their wide receivers matched up on the Eagles secondary, which was their weakness. But sometimes you got to think, you always got to think from protection first, right? And what I can't understand is the game Fletcher Cox had against the Buffalo Bills the week before. When you turn the film on, that's got to be your first priority, is blocking that guy and Graham. And Jernigan was back. I think their nose guard and their other defensive end. And you got to get those guys blocked. That's your first thing you got to do. And if you come out and immediately they give you a 5-on-5 look. So now your young center, 22 years old, James Daniels, is 1-on-1 with Fletcher Cox, and Fletcher Cox runs him over. Look, I was in Champaign, Illinois, and they put Richard Seymour over my head. Richard Seymour, a great defensive lineman for the New England Patriots, and he ran me over and put me on my back. As a young center or a young lineman, period, you don't realize how important fundamentals are. Like someone tells you, look, your kick step is too wide. You're like, but I'm getting guys blocked, so leave me alone. Well, you go against that one guy who shows you your kick step is a little too wide. And that's what they're doing, Pat. And in 3rd and 10 and under last week, the Eagles were going cover one man, pressing them, and they were adding blitzes and coming after Mitch Trubisky. Why are you going to make him read the defense and leave your O-line one-on-one? Why not go max protection early? See what they're giving you and adjust from there. And it just seems like all they're thinking about is their 7-on-7 look. You know, their wide receivers look. We have such a big advantage if we get everybody out against these cornerbacks. If you have no time, that advantage doesn't matter.
And we saw it just before the game, just studying tape. You knew that's what the Eagles were going to do. So I was shocked to see that knowing they are struggling with protection up front, to make those guys do that. Help the weakness out on your team right now. Help them out. Game plan it.
You know, guys, you almost get the sense that Mitch Trubisky isn't going to get fixed unless they take the pressure off him, unless they get other guys to make plays, open up the football field for him, let him have a little bit of success. Because the one thing I've talked about a few times this week, it seems like everybody in Chicago has forgotten. And I know that 800 guys get voted to the Pro Bowl. It's not the honor it once was.
No, that's not true, Bob. Let's say it the right way. There's a Pro Bowl team. 800 guys are alternates.
Well,
Bowlers are the actual Pro Bowlers that have voted the first team that's announced. They're very good. If you're one of the third or fourth alternates, you just got to dress up in the Pro Bowl.
That's right.
I'm in trouble when Olin's correcting my English, but he's absolutely right on this one. So it's the point I was going for, though, is that there's 32 starting quarterbacks, and even with the alternates, you only get a couple extras. And Mitch was that guy last year. Forget that he went to the Pro Bowl. He set a Chicago Bears single-season record for passer rating and passer efficiency. This is not a guy who cannot play in the NFL. This is a guy who's playing very poorly in the NFL right now. And so the question is, you know, are they doing the right things to make him successful? And this is what concerns me is it doesn't look to me like they're letting Mitch be Mitch, like they're letting him go out there, stop thinking so much and play the game. I mean, when you watch Lamar Jackson, you know, when you watch, pick any of the kids, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, they're not thinking out there. They're reacting. And you just get a sense watching Trubisky that he's constantly thinking out there.
And you said earlier what his stats were against the Lions last year. And he had, you know, he had more than half his games were like that last year. He had a very good year last year. And even sometimes this year, when you turn the film on, he's in that pocket standing down and throwing that ball, he looks really good. But he is a struggling quarterback right now. That is the way he's playing is affecting the whole offense. And it does seem like Coach Nagy, Coach Ragone, Coach Heffert, Childress, Hub, it does seem like they're all being a little too stubborn with what they want him to do.
It absolutely feels that way. And, Pat, I'll turn to you on this one. He's not running the football this year, you know, and that was one of the things that made him the most effective last year. Now, he did hurt the non-throwing shoulder against Minnesota, but that was week four already. He already wasn't running the football. Since he came back, and Matt Nagy said it twice the week before last and last week, he said, we are not restricting him. As far as we're concerned, if he's out there, he's got to be able to go. And so you wonder again, is that just because he's thinking too much? Has he decided that he's got to be a hero and throw the football? You just would like to see this kid cut loose and play without thinking.
Yeah, I went back and watched last year's Detroit game. I think it was that November 11th game at Soldier Field. Mitch Trubisky looked great. And that might have, to me, that was his best game he played. Tampa, whatever, that was not a good defense. Detroit was a decent defense, but he played very well. And what I liked about it is, one, he had some time up front. That front four for Detroit was not getting after him too much, and it should not happen again today. But it looked to me he would go 1-2 and then start moving around in the pocket a little bit, and he's very comfortable moving. He's very comfortable on the run. He only ran the ball 3 times for 18 yards, had a touchdown, I think as long as 8 yards that game. But he was on the move a little bit more, put himself on the move. And I do think he is being coached to stay in the pocket too long, to try to be a true pocket passer. He looks more comfortable after going 1-2 and then kind of just shuffling, getting ready to go, to use his feet to gain some yards. And then if he does have to get out of the pocket, he's extremely comfortable doing that.
And, you know, the thing is, Pat, we keep going back to this, right? But it really is. It's not – I know Hub is correct. Being a play caller is not easy. But it really is simple to say, what is he doing well this year? What have we had success doing with Mitch Trubisky? Because, look – the Bears today, no matter who the Lions have on the field, they have to start faster than they have, right? They're averaging under a touchdown in the first half of games right now. And if you take out Cordero Patterson's return, and if you take out HaHa Clinton-Dix's interception, they're under like 4 points in the first half right now. That's terrible.
I heard you mention that on the radio this week. That's unbelievable.
That's really bad, right? So when they do score, what were they doing? He was in no huddle. When they do score, he was in no huddle. You always wait to the second half, and you come out and you shove Montgomery down people's throats, and then you max protect and throw the ball. Like, let's do that on the first drive. I know that sounds crazy. I know that's out there. But let's do what he's doing well this year on the first drive and get him going. Because, look, they don't want to be at Soldier Field today and have 3 3-and-outs and have the crowd booing him.
Well, and the thing that's so frustrating with that is, you know, fans tend to assume, well, he's in no huddle. Mitch must be calling his plays. No, that's not true at all. You still can get the plays called from the sideline. There's a couple advantages to no huddle, but the biggest one is you do not allow the defense to substitute. You don't allow them to stop and prepare for whatever kind of looks they're seeing. They don't get to see your personnel groupings changing, and you get a little rhythm going, and you're on the attack. And that's the thing that it's not like you just got to say, okay, Mitch, go call plays, go run the offense. Nagy can do whatever he wants, but Olin's right. I mean, you know, whenever they've gone with the rhythm, so to speak, the offense has picked up a little bit.
Yeah, and the other thing is Matt Nagy can stay in his ear until 15 seconds, yeah. So he can kind of be his eyes a little bit as well and kind of direct him before the ball snap. And, yeah, there was a lot of success with that we saw earlier. It's interesting they went away from it. And, Olin, you're right. There's two things they've been successful with, running the ball in the I formation and the no huddle. Let's see that today.
Well, the no huddle will also show you lineup in your formation, and it shows you the coverage.
Sure.
Right? It shows you what you're doing. And like you, like Hub said, what McVay does with golf is, look, you're looking at cover three, look for the stick route. Look for the corner route, right? And it just seems like, to me, I know how much work these coaches put in, and it's hard to say, but it seems to me like the answer is pretty simple of what they got to do.
All right, guys, we're going to have to take a break here. And when we come back, it's become kind of one of our most popular features of the pregame show. It's Where Are They Now? As we get to visit with a number of former Chicago Bears. They had a great time with Lovie Smith last week. Went out and got bowl eligible, didn't he?
How about that game?
How about Lovie Smith? Illinois program bouncing back. Hopefully his former team, the Bears, can bounce back today. On the other side, we have Bears tight end Desmond Clark. Des has stayed in Chicago since he finished his playing days, been very active with the NFL Alumni Association. Looking forward to visiting with Des on the other side. If you want to come out and visit with us in person, we're out at Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport. And I'll tell you what, guys, I'm told all the food here is great, but the pizza must be really good because I've never seen so much breakfast pizza in my life. So come on out, guys. Grab some pizza, grab a steak, grab whatever you want. We're at Coombs Corner in Lockport. Thanks to our friends at Miller Lite. Hold true. We are back in just a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.